The following presentation was recorded live at the River Worship Center in Warsaw, Indiana. We now join the message already in progress.
Get your Bibles out. If you got one there, good, praise the Lord. We're all good to go. Last time we spoke, just a refresher. The good word of God that says 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin and heal their land. The big question is that first two letters. If. It's time that we not be people of if, but we be a people of doing. Come on. It's time that we get a hold of this word and we either believe in the word or we don't believe in the word.
Yeah. Come on, man.
You either believe God can do it or you don't believe God can do it.
That's right.
How many of you saw the live post I put out on the Facebook yesterday after men's breakfast?
Yes.
Yeah. Amen. So an intercessory prayer this morning, I was praying. And I began to weep. Because there's people that heard that are yet still bound and not here today. It was a call to the area. We were in a wonderful men's breakfast yesterday. And Brother Luke was mentioning the Word of God. And we had a wonderful breakfast.
Amen.
It was a great time, man. How many of you can say amen?
Amen.
Amen. We had fruit, we had sausage, we had biscuits, we had gravy, we had pancakes. You know the beautiful thing about it was, is as we came in, we contributed what we could, and none of us left hungry.
That's right.
None of us left, our bellies were full, our spiritual hearts were full. Because we got a reminder about when we build a house on sand and we build a house on rock and we reacquaint ourselves of why we built our house on this rock. Because when you build your house on sand and the storms come, because great is its fall.
That's right. Come on.
And then we got reminded about being doers and not just hearers of the word.
Mm-hmm.
And it spurred me to call out to those that would listen. And in my prayer time, I realized that there's several that they're so low, they're stuck in the ditch. They're so beaten down that only a few responded to the call. There is such a sense of hopelessness out in the world today. Your families are full of it. Full of hopelessness. Full of grief. Full of pain. That's why I pray. That's why we pray. Because there's some people listening right now that I believe wanted to be here this morning, and the enemy has got them bound and tied like Lazarus, tied up and got grave clothes on. And we need to be about the Father's business and loose them of the grave clothes.
Amen. Come on.
Not only that, there's something about us that has to desire and have a longing and the compassion that Jesus had, that He came to die on the cross so that we might be saved.
Yeah.
How many is willing to sign up for that program? Well, just know He's the only one that could do it. He was the only one without spot or wrinkle. He was the only one that lived a sinless life. You see, we've got to be speaking about Jesus. There's lawyers, there's doctors, there's psychiatrists, there's all the things out there. But let me tell you, it's only the name of Jesus that will set you free. It's the name above every name. There's no other name by which man must be saved.
That's right.
If we will not cry out and speak Jesus, you're not going to see change. If there's idol worship, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. If there's idol worship above God, above Jesus, you're going to see the same bumpy road you've always seen. How many of you are watching my Facebook posts in Jeremiah? I put a special clip in there in the easy-to-read version to make it easy for people, because in this land, people are lifting up idols above Jesus. Money, jobs, family, golf tournaments, fishing tournaments. Anything you can think of is higher than Jesus right now. And we are suffering for it as a nation. Your families are suffering from it. Because why? Because they are going down a bumpy road. Why? Because they've forgotten Him, the Word of God says. We've forgotten the King of Kings. We've forgotten who we need to call upon. And if we, church, those following Christ Jesus, ones who's laid down our lives, taken up our cross and followed Him, if we can't speak the very one that saved us, we have a problem. Amen. There's a boldness that has to come out that says, let my people go. Remember Moses. If you won't do it, who's gonna? And I stood praying this morning. One of the most awesome, just give credit where credit's due, for those that are not in the house. We hope by now that there's a bunch of people watching. We hope that there's a bunch of people that I know that there's people watching, but I want to start getting them engaged. Amen. I know we have some secret admirers. It's time for you to make a stand and say, listen, as our extended River family, there's ways that you can get involved. There's ways that you can share. There's ways that you can like. There's ways that you can contribute. There's ways that you can help. Mm-hmm. You may be out of this town, but there's still ways that you can help support this ministry. Amen. And you, church, can support this ministry, because I'm not ashamed of speaking the name of Jesus, because that's the only name that's going to bring those in the ditch out. Next verse. Back in Jeremiah, chapter 18. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. It is where, church, I began to get set free. It's where your family's going to get set free. This is a house of restoration. A ministry of reconciliation. You know what that means? That means bringing you closer and reconcile your relationship with God. Yes, why? Because we've been there. Every one of us have made mistakes. And every one of us have fallen short. And praise God, He didn't throw you out. You take what you learned and you speak the name of Jesus. And you help others get out. And you show mercy and you show compassion. And you show love. You know why? Because it's easy to beat people down. You deal with that every day, don't you? Oh, you've done too much. You've done too much wrong. There's no way that God will forgive you for this. That is from the pit of hell. Amen. Amen. Oh, you're addicted to drugs. There's no way you could ever be a minister. Oh, that's from the pit of hell. That's putting God in a box.
That's right.
Oh, I've done this and I've done that. You're not who you used to be.
Amen.
That's why we've been going through this Wake the Giant class.
Mm-hmm.
6:30 tonight. Just give you that little plug. Because chapter 1, we learned about ourselves, about what the enemy throws in us. And it's time to wake the giant. And then we realized who we are in Christ. You can't give away what you don't have.
That's right. That's right.
If I'm not willing to spend time at that altar, if I'm not willing to praise the Lord, if I'm not willing to get in this Word, how can I ever expect God to move on my behalf? I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge you because the Lord's already just messed me up this morning. Because I'm hearing in my spirit the drops of sand in the hourglass. He's given us space and time. We're only allowed so many breaths. You on our Facebook Live, you're only allowed so many breaths. And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing, because I want to provide hope. Are you willing to be a hope bringer? Because there's some people stuck in the ditch like I was stuck in the ditch, and I didn't think I was ever going to get out. How many of you with me? I didn't think I was ever going to get out of my mess. I didn't think I was ever going to get free. And the only one that helped me get free was a pastor who said, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way, son. If you want out, Jesus is the way. Don't be ashamed to speak Jesus. I got this self-help. I got these psychiatrists, all these different philosophers, theologians, everything. Let's get back to the basic. Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus is the name. Speak the name of Jesus over your family.
Yes.
If you can't, something's off. You're not realizing who you are. If you're afraid to, I don't want to. That's why we're in the Wake the Giant class.
Come on.
Amen. Verse 3, then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Let me tell you, there can be change in your life. I proclaimed all over Facebook, wherever I could, that listen, change is available to somebody. So now, guess what? The ones that could make it, made it. And there's a whole bunch of people around you, they couldn't make it today. Why? Because they're stuck in a ditch. They still got the grave clothes on. Remember the story about Lazarus? He's 4 days in there and he stinketh. Let me tell you, it's not too late. It's not too late. The prodigal son, it's not too late, because the father's still waiting. You haven't went too far. You haven't went too far. I didn't go too far, but I sure thought I did. Is that not the trick of the enemy? To say, oh, it's been too many days. I've been gone too long. I don't care if you've been gone 4 days, 4 weeks, 4 months, 4 years, 40 years. If God's leading you and he's knocking on your door saying, come dine with me. Open the door. Come dine with me. It's not too late. When the prodigal son came home to father, he spent everything he had, didn't he? Down in the bottom of a valley, eating what the pigs eating. But still, there was redemption for him. If he can do that for him, he can do that for you. If he can do that for him, he can do that for you. If he can do that for you, he can do that for me. And if he can do it for all of you, he can do it for everyone listening.
That's right.
And he can do it for all your family. Well, you don't know what my family's done. You don't know what my family's done.
Come on.
You don't know what the people I'm hanging out with, that I'm ministering to. They think that there's no hope for them. They think that it's too late. It's not too late, as long as you got breath. But as a tree falls, so it is. So don't wait. Hello? I'm just feeling it. I'm just feeling in my spirit the urgency to go. Tell them, go get them. Because they didn't come in this morning. They should have been in here. There should have been 5,000 likes and 50 shares from the church about drawing them in and go, listen, God's here. He's opening up a door. He's opening up a door for you to be free. Now's the time. So what's that tell you? They're stuck. They need us with four-wheel drives and a log chain and a big tow rope and some tires that aren't bald. Put on some new tires with a 4x4. Lock that Jeep in. Lock that F-250 in. And it's time to go get some. I'm coming. Why? Why? Because they're stuck. And people don't see it spiritually. God opened up my eyes this morning and go, we want them here. They're stuck. The devil has got them blinded, stuck, confused. I would believe that there's hundreds of people wanting to be in this church and they feel like they can't come because they've been gone too long. And we gotta tell them, listen, come back. Come back to the Father's house. Let's put the robe on. Let's put the ring on. Let's get you some new sandals. Where's the compassion for those? Where's the compassion for those that have fell away and you know because you've been there and people go by them every day? They go by them every day. The people are hurting and they've got no hope. But greater is He that's in me than He that's in the world. Well, let me tell you, you've got something to share with the world now. You know, I didn't like going through the ditch. But I learned one of the greatest Bible lessons ever. It cost a lot. It was an expensive class. Very expensive class. But it changed me. Go with me into Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. It says, when He, and He is Jesus. So you got your Bibles there watching online. When He, Jesus, had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him. I got something in my spirit fresh and anew this morning about this. It's wonderful on the mountaintop. But the Lord spoke to me about sometimes you're going to have to go down in the valley and rescue them and bring them up where you're at. And it didn't make all the sense to me until we just had that kind of a praise and worship service. I love to stay on the mountain. But before this year, I wasn't equipped to go back down in the valley because bad company corrupts good morals. And I had to get right with the Lord. I had to get strong in the Lord. I had to have some good teaching. I had to be consistent in prayer and in fasting and in prayer time and get a hold of something that says, listen, they no longer have an effect on me. That which I touch, I expect to change, not me be changed. Because if you're not strong enough, you'll find yourself sucked back into that stuff and you'll be absorbed into that and you got to be stronger than that which you're trying to influence.
Come on.
So you got to be strong in the mountaintop so that you're locked in. You pour it all out and you got enough power to go right back up to the mountaintop. That's just bonus for this morning. When He had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him, and behold, a leper came and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, if You're willing, You can make me clean. Do you understand what's going on here? We don't have near enough time to go into all the details of Leviticus and leprosy and how this person was an outcast. When anybody saw him and the priest saw him, they said, unclean, unclean! Stay out of the camp. Stay out. You're unclean. Don't want no part of you. How many of you ever felt that way? Unclean. You don't fit in here. And you don't fit in there. Just a whole bunch of religious folks. You're not fitting. You know it's not right to be there. And you're not accepted here. And you're pushed out. Unclean, unclean. And Jesus messed him up. But He says to the Lord, He says, Lord, if You're willing, what great faith is that? If You're willing, You can make me clean. I can't do it for You. I can't do it for you. But I can speak the name of Jesus over your situation. I can speak Jesus over that problem. Because Look what the Bible says in verse 3. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him. He wasn't supposed to touch him. Nobody was supposed to touch him. Everybody was supposed to be saying, unclean, unclean, get out, get out, get out. And Jesus had compassion on him. Not only invited him, but touched him. And reminds him that, I am willing, be cleansed. How about you today? If you've ever felt like that you're not fitting in, that there's no hope, that people are like, I talk funny, I look funny, I have this problem. We need to tell some people that it doesn't matter what they look like. See, leprosy is a skin problem. Leprosy is on the surface. And people would see the outside of man and try to judge. I'm going somewhere. People look at the outside and, they've done too much. I don't want to share Jesus with them. And that's exactly the people you should be sharing Jesus with. Amen. Well, they're a drunkard and talking. Look how they talk. Didn't hear me before I got saved, did you? If you could see me. Remember what Pastor said in that song? If you knew me then, you would believe me now. But they don't believe us, do they? So we have to walk different because we are different. We have to talk different because we are different. It's a good kind of different. Amen. Are you here? I know I'm all excited today, and you're just going to have to bear with me for another 5 or 10 minutes. Because I want to get you understanding that we are hope bringers. We're not here to condemn and put people down. We're here to lift people up and put a hand to help and touch those things. You can't touch those things unless you know that you're stronger than those things, that who resides in you. Right? I am willing, he be cleansed. He spoke it. Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. Are you here? He's willing today. He's willing today. Are you willing? Here's the quiz. Next Wednesday, if you remember what Pastor said, he is willing. Are you willing? He's willing. I'm willing. Are you willing? Because that verse, greater is he that's in me, needs to show. It's got to show. If the time's ticking, if you really believe the time is ticking, I may believe that with me. I may understand we're in perilous times. If you have enough end times teaching, you're seeing the dots. The red heifers are coming. We got this going on. Come on. It's starting to line, right? So why is God showing that to us now? Because we were born for just a time as this. How about that? You mean you went through the perilous times? You mean you went through stuff so that you could minister and bless other people? Yeah. Yeah, because I never got it. So move with me down. You're going to have to go down on the screen. I'm going to skip down. Go with me into the book of Luke. If you have your Bibles, go with me to Luke chapter 10. And those that are got the big screen, you can move to Luke chapter 10 with me. You see, there's something that either you got this or you don't got this. There's your quiz. You're going to face this. Remember what Brother Luke said in men's breakfast, that you're liable to use what you hear the very week that you hear from this word?
Yeah, come on.
The quiz is not whether you remember what I have said. The quiz is not what you remember what Pastor said. I hope that you remember what the Lord used Pastor to say this morning. I hope you get it. Because you run out of time. The quiz is, well, we have to go up one verse. I can't leave this verse out. I wanted to for sake of time, but the Lord won't let me. James 4 is a very popular, strong chapter that you hear me speak about. And James chapter 4, verse 7 says, "Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." You can't be sleeping in the same house with the enemy. You've got to kick the enemy out. You've got to bar the windows. You've got to shut the door. You've got to lock the door. Get rid of the evil and the junk and resist the devil if you expect him to really go. But you can't do it if you're not submitted to God.
Amen.
You're going to find problems. And you can't tell me you're submitted to God if there's still wickedness and sin living around you and in you and on you. It doesn't work. You can't do both sides. You've got to choose. Amen. Choose this day whom you're going to serve. You're either going to resist the devil or you're going to sleep with the devil. Which one you want? Right? You're either going to talk like the devil or you're going to talk like the Lord. You're either going to lead people in the way, you know, the Bible says prepare the way of the Lord. You're either going to prepare the people in the way of the Lord or you're going to prepare people in the way of the world. I know I'm preaching harder than you guys can probably handle this morning. And I want to bring hope. But I can't bring hope if you're not ready to go with me to be a hope bringer.
Come on.
It's like relating to tithes and offerings, which no one wants to hear. I understand. But we didn't just go to that silver maple this week and look for the $5 bills coming from it and shake the tree and go, "Praise God, oh, there's $5 bills coming down." That does not happen, right? If you don't support a business, what happens to the business? If you don't support the church, what happens? The very thing that you do is what brings us together as a family. You missing troubles us because we want you here. Because it's not about the building, it's about the people. We're about the people. And I can't get you to a place if you don't understand certain things. We were blessed with air conditioning. Why? Because you all, as you could, either labor or deed or prayer or time or money and resources, partook of it. Because we're family. God didn't just magically bring the magic Christmas tree and drop down bills. He used you to help promote the kingdom.
That's right.
You are helping spread hope. Do you see that now? People want to say, "Well, I don't want to tithe, I don't want to give." Okay, if you can't, you can't. I couldn't when I started. I couldn't. Didn't have much. But I could help. I could pray. I could pray for an open door for people to help. And yesterday we sat in men's breakfast. I probably brought $20 worth of food. I might be on a few rabbit trails. It's just pouring out of me this morning. The Lord has just changed my whole message this morning, Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I brought probably $20, $25 maybe of food yesterday. We spent, I don't know, 35, maybe an hour cooking it. I come to men's breakfast, heard the word. Man responded to the word of God.
Amen.
For a due season.
Amen.
For a now word. Not coming in with what he wanted, not have a prerequisite, "Oh, let's follow this from corporate."
Come on.
No, he listened to the Holy Ghost and he presented a word in obedience to the word. We had a mighty discussion, went away full, and the Lord turned that $20-$25 investment and a two-hour investment in time. You know what he did? He opened up the door for me where I took home enough meals to eat leftovers the next two or three days. Now, I know not all of you like leftovers, but let me tell you, I'm a leftover post-it note king. Because if you can't recognize the abundance, how can you you're going to have trouble when there's lack. When you're grateful for the extra, right? And you all have contributed to that.
Amen.
The Lord opened up doors. There's people going to do stuff. I've got apples in my house now that I can make apple pie filling and the different things. And that's God's doing.
Amen.
We got to introduce pastors to some people that you've all been praying for who's hurting. He had his fibrillator went bad, or not bad, but it went off yesterday and just messed him up. My neighbor, my friend. What about your friends? What about your friends that need you and need you praying? That's why this church is here, not to be the biggest church or have the prettiest churches, because you church are calling them out. You're helping, you're supporting. Go and do likewise.
Come on, man.
Love the Lord your neighbor. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and your neighbor. You're making a difference. Make a difference. And then what happened? They in return gave us peppers. Numerous kinds of hot peppers that pastor loves.
Amen. Praise God.
I had a neighbor helping me with my tree. You see, that's you all had people helping you yesterday. I know I'm on a rabbit trail. But it shows the fruit of this ministry if people would get in.
Amen.
That's what I'm trying to instill with you. Amen?
Amen.
I don't know who I'm preaching to today. But I know that there's people that are out there that don't feel like they're a part of anything. And this is a place you can belong.
Amen.
The river is a place you can belong. All you got to do is allow us to help with a hand. God's willing. God's willing. And we're willing. But are you willing?
Come on.
Are you willing to go to the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in and be invited to this? By now you've all been exposed to, this is not a religious mess. This is a family of believers. If you can recognize what is going on in the house of the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
We're going to be blessed with people that know how to install air conditioning. It's going to be beautiful in here. Brand new stuff. How does that happen? How did I get apples? How did I save $600 yesterday and not having somebody cut down a tree for me? What did you say?
Blessed
and
highly favored.
But we got to come out and be separate from the junk. Oh. I pray that some people are getting a hold of this. I hope you're tolerating me just walking in the Holy Ghost because God is so good. I can't go off some script or from corporate. I've got to go from the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. In James 1, if you go back a couple pages for me, James chapter 1, verse 21 says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive, somebody say receive.
Receive,
with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Get it in here. Get it out of that mind. And get it, impart it in this heart and recognize that you're in a church that's different. I can testify to it.
Amen. Yeah.
And by now, and after today, I want to encourage you to be able to testify about it. Because if you, River Family Extended on Facebook, and you, River Family, listen to me in the sanctuary, if you don't tell someone the goodness of God and what God is doing for you, who's gonna?
That's right. There you go. That's it. That's it right there.
Who's gonna do it? I will. God's willing, and I'm willing. Are you willing? He says in his word, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Oh, do I know a bunch of people walking a deceived life right now. I'm saved, I'm born again, but I don't like the Bible. Problem. I'm born again, I'm saved, I'm right with the Lord, but they don't like Jesus. You mention Jesus, they get all uncomfortable. Sorry, problem. How can you expect to spend eternity in heaven if you can't even acknowledge Jesus or get in His Word or be a part of His Word or be a part of His family? How are you ever going to get there? I know I'm preaching kind of tough now, because I'm trying to give hope. You know why? Because you all have hope to bring to the people that I'm going to tell you about right now. So now we're going to go to Luke chapter 10. I've got about 10 minutes, because I know some of you are already ready to go home. And I don't want you to be ready to go home. I want you to be empowered and equipped. Amen. Those that are watching online, we want to see you restored with God and living the abundant life. Amen. Amen. If you're not living the abundant life, why not?
Come on.
If you're not living it, why not?
Preach it.
Who's making the choices here? I can't do it for you. I want you to live the abundant life. So if I have to come get you, right here, why are you staying in your lazy boy recliner?
Uh-oh.
Why are you content? If you could have felt what we felt here this morning, there might have been people walking out of here and throwing away canes and wheelchairs to what we felt here this morning.
Amen. Amen.
True or not true?
That's right.
You don't know. The Lord has made a way in this church that I can't comprehend it. I can't. I can't hardly put a name to it other than just hallelujah and praise the Lord and amen. Because if someone needed a need and they needed to walk today, it might have been here.
That's right. Yes.
If debt cancellation was needed, it might have been right here this morning.
That's right.
If family restoration, it might have been right here this morning.
Yes.
And there was a moment. Boom. I give time, space. Done. Don't miss out. You need a ride. You need help. Call the prayer chain.
That's right.
Call the prayer lines.
That's right.
Okay. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. Are you there? I'll give you a minute to get there.
Yeah.
Luke chapter 10, verse 25. You see, not only am I trying to spur you and compel you and urge you, I'm also trying to teach you something that is so important about your life and about the ministry that you see here and why we are who we are and why we can proclaim and say and stand on, even when the naysayers say we're not, and even when the devil says we're not, and even Satan and his minions try to come against us. We can show you biblically in the Scriptures a life we've lived of the most expensive college class we've ever taken. Okay, you're getting now a piece of the vision of what makes us who we are. So when the naysayers and the people are trying to badmouth the church, trying to say they don't care, that we went too far, they're this, they're that, you need to be equipped to say, listen, that doesn't line up with here.
Amen.
I've walked with these men. I've talked with these men. I've ate dinner with these men, and what you're saying does not line up, and it's time for you to resist the devil.
Come on.
And take a stand for God. And then I want to encourage you to take a stand for your pastor.
Amen.
Where are the ones holding up the hands today?
Amen.
When the hands are lifted up, everybody do that with me. When your hands are lifted up, we win.
That's right.
What happens when they do this? Did you just feel that? Something was there. We win. How do people finish the finish line when they're running the marathon? Well done, good and faithful servant. You win. Verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him. Oh, isn't that nice? Isn't that nice when people do that? Yeah, you say you who you are. That's all right. All will be revealed in time. Saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, What is written in the law? And then he says, What is your reading of it? So this lawyer said, So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with how much of your heart? Okay. Don't be just hearers of the word, but be... Oh, we're going to take a test this week. With all your soul, with all your strength, there's going to be an attack that tries to pull you back. It starts on Monday morning. Use this word. I love the Lord with all my heart, all my mind, all my soul, all my strength. You're going to need some strength this week. Because the enemy doesn't like you hearing a word. You can't have a move of God like this and somebody not say, well, that's just flaky, weird today. No, don't you be even talking like that. You know better than that. God is in this place today. With all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live. Don't just hear this. Do this and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, Well, and who is my neighbor? Who is your neighbor? Do you know your neighbor? Who is your neighbor? Then Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed him, leaving him half dead. I've been doing some studying on the side of this about this road from Jericho to Jerusalem. And it's very narrow. It's very rocky. It has great ambush spots for the Jews that would go up and down from Jerusalem to Jericho. You'd actually go down. And there's an enemy out there that's waiting on you, just like this, to steal, kill, and destroy the very thing that God's doing today. The very thing that he did yesterday at men's breakfast. The very thing he did this morning, and the very thing he's going to do tonight. It's a bumpy road. It's a dry land. Now, by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Now, I would encourage you to look this up yourself, because how could he have missed him? How could he walk by him? Well, he saw him. And he passed by on the other side. Keep in mind, this guy's broken, busted, disgusted, half beat. And likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked, and he passed by on the other side. And we'll get back to these. But verse 33 says, But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. In your day-to-day travels, you walk by people every day. For me, and I can probably speak for several people in this church that they understand what it's like to be beaten down amongst the people that you thought were on your side. That's the worst kind of beating. You know, you realize that, don't you? I can take a beating from a lot of people, but the ones that walk among me that I take a beating from hurts. And it's tough to get by because you know that there's people walking by you that don't want to help. And I always thought about this. I've got two different rabbit trail runs here. Because I wonder, how can anybody walk by people that are hurting and do nothing? Where's the heart change? Where's the compassion? What would Jesus do, right? How is it that people can watch people suffering every day and do nothing? And then I go down another road, another path in my prayer time, and I think, well, wait a minute. Maybe the people that walk by doing nothing are not equipped properly to do anything. Maybe they didn't have the right tools to help. Maybe they weren't equipped. Maybe they didn't feel that they were able to help. Maybe they didn't have the log strap and the four-wheel drive. But a certain Samaritan, you see, the Samaritan and the Jews didn't get along too good. If anybody would have helped, you would have thought it had been ones of their own kind.
Come on.
The Samaritans were on the other side of this program, folks. The Jews were going up and down. You'd have thought the other Jews would have helped the other Jews. The Samaritans during that time were some of the bandits that came in and tried to take and destroy and kill and steal. And yet here, a Samaritan comes to help. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Here this person shows the compassion. Jesus is telling us what we're to be like. Because many of us have been beat by our closest friends, relatives, associates, maybe even a few neighbors that were hard to deal with. But now that you've been born again, now that you've been given the tools, you've seen God move for yourself. You have the oil yourself. But see, there's a lot of people like ourselves that saw people go by. Why don't they help? Do I have leprosy? Have I done too much wrong? I know I said some things. I know I'm sorry, but now I'm hurting. I know I wasn't very nice, but now I'm hurting. Will you forgive me? I'm in a ditch. I'm hurting. I feel like I've done so much wrong, and now the person on the left goes by me, person on the right goes by me. But let me tell you, here at the river, we're not going to go by you.
That's right. Amen.
It's time to be like here, like Jesus, that He's got the oil. He's got the bandages to heal your wounds. And you've been equipped like Jesus to go out and heal the wounds with the oil, the anointing. The Samaritan had it. Do you have it? Do you have it? We talked about this in Wake the Giant class, didn't we? You can't give away what you don't have. You have to have the Holy Spirit working in you and through you and know what it's like. It's a tough class. It's a tough lesson to learn. He bandaged him, poured oil on it, wine. He set him on his own animal. He brought him to the inn. The inn is a representation of here.
Amen.
Why don't you be here? I want you to be here. You need 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 to be here. I got several things I can help get you here. We've got resources. We got vehicles. We got people. We've got access to the Father.
Amen.
And took care of him. You see, that's what we're trying to do. Not condemn people, not hurt people, not trying to make them mad, not try to over-challenge their broken theology. We just want the scales to come off so that when they see the Maker, when they see Jesus for Himself, when you take your last breath, you will be prepared and equipped. But listen, we've got to be ones that know what we've been through and not walk by those that are hurting. And there are those. There's a whole, I could go for a couple hours and all the things out of this. I'm just giving you one snippet nugget for the sake of time. There's so much teaching in these verses about those that go from Jerusalem to Jericho and going backwards. There's so much depth here that if you found yourself going towards darkness, come back and get in the Father's house. If you find yourself broken and busted, there's people that will help.
Amen.
And took care of him. And on the next day when he departed, he took over 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you." Listen, I'm not worried about getting paid by the church.
Come on. Come on.
My assignment, though I went through struggle, is now to help those get in the house of the Lord, be reconciled, be restored. I'll worry about getting paid on the other side.
Amen. Amen.
There's too many ministers and preachers going, "Well, I'll do this for this and this." Will you do what you're due and not get paid for it?
Mm-hmm. Come on.
2005 to 2021. How many years is that? Somebody do the math for me real quick. 16. 16 years of serving the Lord. We don't accept. We don't do this for the money.
Amen. Amen.
I do not get paid. Those naysayers, people talking against us in this church, is error. We don't. We support. We do this out of the love, and the any income and stuff goes into the ministry to help people.
That's right.
Do you realize your church does this? Not many people can say this. There's only a few churches that can say this. I'll say it publicly and out loud from the rooftops. Because you people have got to be equipped to understand the church that you've associated with.
Mm-hmm.
We need a new convert class to tell this, but we don't have one at the moment, so I've got to teach you now. 16 years of serving, I'll worry about getting paid later.
Mm-hmm.
Your money is going towards the kingdom and building the kingdom.
Amen.
Your money's not going towards my pocket or pastor's pocket. He's got more than 16 years. You need to know that when you're doing something for the Lord and you're investing in a men's breakfast, you're investing in the church, you're investing in equipment, you need to know that it's going towards the proper use to winning souls for the kingdom of God. Amen? I know that's just all over the place today. He says, "When I come again, I'll repay you."
Come on.
Oh, when Jesus comes back. Let me tell you, when your heart is in the right place and you get a hold of the fact, "Oh, I'm gonna help at a cookout." You're helping us win souls.
Right.
You're important. Don't let anybody tell you you're not important.
That's right. Amen.
When you're doing something to support this ministry, don't let anybody, "Well, I'm not a pastor, I'm not." You're supporting the ministry.
Amen.
We need all the fingers. We need all the toes. Don't think of yourself less. I'm bringing hope to you that goes, you're important. You're needed.
Amen.
When the Lord comes back, and He repays you for going and doing likewise. Watch the rewards. Watch the rewards. And he says to him, so which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? Which one of these three do you want to be like? Oh, I can seek out a paycheck and I can do all that stuff. I've already had invitations. Oh, you could be a pastor here, you could do that. No, I'm going to be where I'm supposed to be at. God put me here for a reason. Put you here for a reason. But of these three, the one that went to the left and the one that went to the right and the pastors that pray over you and the one who longs to see you blessed, that longs to see you in his house being blessed. You see, today was the day to be filled with hope. Because you've not done too much wrong. Can I tell you, I didn't do too much wrong either. You know why? Because we serve a great and mighty God.
Amen.
We serve a one who's full of mercy. He says, so which of these do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go 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 go, here's your test, go 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 go. What did pastor preach on Sunday? Go. Are you going to go? Do likewise. Go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. And we're going to go and do likewise. Because I now see in the spiritual world that you are hurting. And you need help. It isn't just enough for me to call or to go on Facebook or to have this message. I'm going to have to go lock it in. I'm not going to be able to use my little Ranger. I'm going to have to go get my 4x4. Because we're going to need to lock it in. Because there's some people that are stuck like that field that we need to grab the tow rope. All the way down to their axles. And if you've learned anything today, the test is be like Jesus, be like the Samaritan. And love people. But it starts with love the Lord your God with all your heart. Amen. Will you go and do likewise? The time is short. You must be born again. John chapter 3 verse 3 says, you must be born again. If you've fallen short, you must be born again. It's time to make that. But too many people are saying, well, I'm born again, I'm born again. Does your walk show it? Are you bound? You may be blessed, but are you still wearing the grave clothes of your past? Because until we realize what God freed us from, it's going to be hard for us to go and pour the oil and pour the anointing on others. Do you have what it takes? Do you have it in you? Or is it like, I'll let pastor deal with that? You see, it's time to really get real.
That's right.
The hope is that we will recognize who we are and go save those with the oil and the bandages and go do likewise.
Amen.
And for me, I need a reminder from our brother to not be just a hearer of the word,
yeah,
but be a doer of the word.
Amen. Amen.
If you're going to go, then go with purpose.
That's right.
Don't go just to be going. Go with a purpose that says, I'm going to minister to this person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do something for the Lord. I'm going to share this gospel with somebody.
Amen.
And I'm out of time for today. And we come back Wednesday. We get refilled up. Come back tonight. Because the clock's ticking. The clock's ticking.
Amen.
If the eschatology has taught you anything, it's to understand that the time is ticking.
That's right.
And we hope to see you. Get a hold of us. We have the oil in the bandages. And we want to see you blessed. I wanted to see you in church today, but I understand that some can't. Some are far away. There are extended family. But there's some the devil has lied to. He's lied to because they are welcome back. They are wanted, and you are wanted. And you've not done too many things wrong. Whether it's 4 days, 4 months, 4 years, you can come back to the house of God.
Amen.
You can come back to the house of God. You're welcome in this house.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. We'll be praying for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you have any questions or would like to reach out to us here at The River, you can email us at study@riverwc.org. Again, that's email to study@riverwc.org. God bless you.